The cryptocurrency Bitcoin has its ups and downs. Today, it's downs. Yet, Bitcoin is more than a currency. It's a valuable technology. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The value of Bitcoin, the decentralized digital currency, is down 25% today. Right now, it's at 11,692. That would be like the Dow falling 6,000 points in a day. Bitcoin's down 41% from its all-time high of nearly 20,000, a peak reached just the other day. Let's go right to Chris Vecchio, senior currency strategist at Daily FX, which analyzes foreign exchange markets. Thanks for doing this.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me.
So what do you make of these plunges today? I got to tell you, the Financial Times called it a Bitcoin crash in some coverage today. What's this coming from?
Well, I think the terminology crash is being used because the terminology bubble is being thrown around. But I think it's really difficult to call this a bubble bursting because the definition that we typically use for bubble bursting is not really applicable here. Considering this isn't really a currency, it's not really a commodity, I don't think we can apply the same definitions that we do for those markets to this one.
And I know people who love their Bitcoin keep pointing out that if you just go back to March of 2017, this year, a Bitcoin was $1,200. So, I mean, it has had a long appreciation.
Yes, and that's true. And that's the case for a number of the currencies in the crypto space right now. I think ultimately what's driving a lot of the interest behind Bitcoin is this idea that the blockchain can be adopted and used in a number of different ways.
Well, what metaphor should we use for the blockchain? I like to say, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's a software technique in which you have essentially an accounting ledger that you can't erase, that's set in stone. So you know like where the money came from and is going.
Right. And that's a fair way to put it. That's good for visibility, good for transparency. It's easy to make sure that there's no counterfeiting of the money, for example, which means people should have faith in the asset overall. But in terms of what blockchain would be like, now here comes Bitcoin, which theoretically would make transactions frictionless between people. That poses a real problem for banks moving forward. Banks will be moving to adopt this technology sooner than later to get ahead of it. Otherwise, they risk losing a significant market share as firms pop up to undercut what are really high costs of holding and storing wealth at these institutions.
I go to banks because they have very big, concrete, imposing-looking pillars in the front that look like they're stable places to put money. That's why I go.
Right. They feel safe, and that's something that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are fighting right now. We just had another South Korean exchange hack this week. Until we can get around these issues of the seemingly Wild West type of style regulation, I don't think we're going to be looking at the path where people are going to be viably talking about transferring their assets out of banks into cryptocurrencies for store value.
All right. Well, let's stay in touch. Chris Vecchio, senior currency strategist at Daily FX. Thank you.
Thanks again, David. Happy holidays.
When it comes to news about the economy, Marketplace has got you covered. And when you donate $10 a month or more to support the work that we do, you can get a Marketplace umbrella to help protect you from stormy weather. The real thanks you'll get for your gift is when you listen every day, knowing that you're making it possible for Marketplace to make people smarter about the economy and why it matters. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and with your help, we'll be able to do more of it and reach more people as well. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org. And thank you. More than one in three Florida households have applied for federal disaster aid since Hurricane Irma hit in September, and FEMA has disbursed nearly $1 billion for temporary shelter, clothing, emergency repairs, and the like. Homeowners with flood insurance have gotten more than $400 million for rebuilding. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports from Florida here that the level of recovery so far has been uneven.
Drive inland from southwest Florida's Gulf Coast, and you get to Immokalee, population 25,000. Tomato fields surround downtown, discount stores and farm worker housing line the streets.
We are heading towards an area called La Rata. It's called The Rat. Here's one of the trailers that got blown off of its foundations.
Julia Perkins is an organizer for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and is taking me on a driving tour.
It's almost all rental housing, trailer parks that are already in disrepair. A good bit of the housing in town was damaged. There are lots of people who don't have anywhere to live that's secure right now.
FEMA workers have come to town to help, but renters here are dependent on their landlords to make essential repairs. FEMA offered vouchers for temporary hotels, but Perkins says they were several hours away, too far from work and schools to be much help. Another hurdle, a lot of the people who live here aren't U.S. citizens and don't speak English, like Mexican immigrant Nicolas Garcia, a 37-year-old packing plant worker. Garcia says Hurricane Irma totally destroyed the trailer he owned. 2 weeks before FEMA's application deadline, he found out from relief workers at a local Lutheran church that his family may be eligible for up to $33,000 in government aid because his children are U.S. citizens. Garcia says his kids need clothes, he needs money for rent, and it'll be a long time before he can save $5,000 to buy another used trailer. Pastor Carl Glander coordinates relief at the church. He lives about 40 miles away in affluent Naples near the coast, where he says one of the biggest problems residents have now is finding a building contractor for repairs.
I lost my roof. I mean, not structurally, but shingles. But I have insurance. Whole living story.
And it's a different story when you do the numbers, too. Many homeowners have insurance coverage for wind and rain. Homeowners with FEMA flood insurance, who pay premiums, so far have received on average about $15,000 apiece to compensate them for damages. Meanwhile, the average FEMA emergency relief payout in Florida so far, for people whose losses are not covered by insurance, is just $1,250. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And here's a number fresh from the U.S. Senate. Over the last 20 years, taxpayers have spent $1.45 million to pay for Senate offices settling discrimination claims. Congress is under new pressure to deal more forcefully to stop discrimination and harassment on Capitol Hill. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.